Welcome to the Mind Your Hormones podcast. My name's Corinne, and I'm a board-certified holistic nutritionist who went from no period from mismanaged PCOS to a regular one. Now I'm obsessed with helping you get hormonally balanced and emotionally aligned. This podcast is all about education, empowerment, real talk, and simple strategies you could start today to find inner peace and overall well-being. I am so excited to be here with you to chat about all things health, hormones, and mindset. Are you ready? Let's get it. Okay, you guys, we are recording another podcast episode in the car while Madison is asleep. So fingers crossed we get through it. We can do this. You just gotta do what you gotta do. This is what it looks like to run a business during nap time. Okay, that's what life is right now. And I freaking love it. It's honestly made me so much more efficient, but that's another conversation for another day. But what we are talking about today are four things I would not do if you want to get pregnant. And obviously there's so many things you can do. You could add into your life, like, of course, but these things are really, really important. And I want to make sure that if you are either trying to conceive actively right now, whether you just started, whether you've been trying for 15 months, 12 months, seven cycles, whatever it is, or you are preparing to get pregnant in the next year or less, this is going to be for you. I'm going to talk about really four important things that you like might be doing right now. Sometimes you might be like, well, I'm only doing it sometimes or whatever. We got to get more devoted and disciplined and consistent with this stuff so that if you haven't started trying to conceive yet, when you do, you don't have to spend years and years trying. Or if you have been trying for years and years, this can really support you in accelerating that process. Okay. Also, if you are someone who's in that camp, whether you are actively trying, you've been trying, you're going to start trying soon, and you have not yet downloaded my free masterclass, the free trying to conceive masterclass, it's all about five things to do immediately if you want to get pregnant this year. I also talk about the root causes of infertility. I don't use that word, but fertility struggles. Like, it's so freaking good. It's so freaking good. Make sure you download that completely free. The link will be in the show notes. And if you do watch it and you weren't on live, because obviously you weren't, if we're talking right now and you're about to download it, please message me on Instagram at Corinne Angelica. First of all, if we're not connected over there, come connect with me. I love posting content to support you and being like on stories and connecting with you and all that stuff. But I want to hear what you think of it because I've just gotten such great feedback from it. And I love knowing how things support you. So anyway, go to the link in my show notes if you have not yet watch the Trying to Conceive Masterclass. Totally free. You're going to freaking love it. Okay, let's go. Four things I wouldn't do if I wanted to get pregnant. For context, again, maybe you're new here because there's so many new listeners, which is so freaking exciting. I'm obsessed. I have PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. I also have a 7-month-old baby girl that I was just talking about is napping in the back seat right now that we got pregnant with naturally on the first try. Even though I used to get my period only 3 times a year for literally a decade, it would come maybe 3 times a year. And then I didn't get it at all, like zero ovulation, zero drop of blood, nothing for 2 full years. That also came with other symptoms too, like IBS. I was chronically bloated. I was constipated. I had random rashes all over my body. I was like literally wanted to take a rake to my legs. I had migraines every month. I had quote unquote weight gain, which was actually inflammation. I had facial hair growth. Like, and I had no idea that any of these symptoms were connected. I had no idea it had anything to do with my period. I didn't know that my bloating had anything to do with my migraines. Like, at this point, I did not understand the body was connected. No one was talking about that. I was going to every different doctor and they were all telling me different things in isolation. Oh, just take this for this. Just take this for this. No one was communicating with each other. Like, totally how just Western medicine is, right? Like, everything is separate. Nothing is connected. We're just going to treat this one thing and think it's not going to affect the rest of your body. Like all that bullshit, right? It wasn't until I learned how to like look at the body as a whole when I went back to school for holistic nutrition as I was teaching, because I was also a teacher for 9 years, which is why I'm so good at teaching you topics that are really difficult to understand, because I did this for literally almost a decade in like a professional setting. But anyway, it wasn't until I went back to school for holistic nutrition as I was teaching that I learned how to really address the root. Just first of all, I learned how the body was all connected and learned how to just heal the body no matter what's going on. But I then learned how to address the root cause of my PCOS. And that's when I regulated my period. And I had a regular period for 4.5 years after my irregular period. I literally thought that was not possible for me. Like when I tell you that I had never had a regular period since the day I got it, and then it was regular for 4.5 years, every single month it came, I was like, oh my God. Like it was literally like a party. I could not believe that I was actually getting it. Like, it still, 4 years later, it was still like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And there were some months throughout that I didn't ovulate or that it went longer because, again, your hormones respond to you. They respond to what you're doing in your day-to-day life and stuff happens. But anyway, I regulated for 4.5 years. Then we got pregnant on the first try. I had an amazing pregnancy. It was beautiful, unmedicated birth, awesome postpartum experience. And I'm so passionate about helping you do the same, despite what your OBGYN is maybe telling you that meds are the only option, or just come back in a year and then we'll try IVF, or, you know, your recurrent miscarriages. It doesn't mean anything. It just happens all the time. Just keep trying, like all this shit, despite what they're telling you. I know that that's not true, right? And there's so many things that you can do to actually change your fertility. And because I saw it in myself, I'm like, I have to help so many other women do this because I thought it was not going to be possible for me or not going to be easy for me, right? So that's why I always share my story, because I'm like, dude, if it's possible for me and so many of my clients, literally clients that were trying for 7 years, 5 years, clients that were 39 years old, like, it is possible. Okay. So 4 things I would not do and that I didn't do and I still don't do, because again, this isn't just about getting pregnant. It's about getting pregnant, staying pregnant, having a healthy pregnancy and rebalancing with ease postpartum, and also just feeling your best throughout the day to day. That's why I'm supporting my hormones all the freaking time, because that's how you feel your best and that's how you are your healthiest self. Like, you cannot be the healthiest version of yourself if you are not supporting your hormones. It's absolutely impossible because they literally control everything in your body. So 4 things I wouldn't do, I didn't do, I still don't do. 1, use LH strips. I bet you didn't think that that was going to be the first thing that we're talking about, but we are, because so many of you are using LH strips. You're peeing on them, the OPKs, ovulation predictor kits, whatever you want to call them. They're a waste of your freaking money. They're a waste of stress. They're a waste of your time. They do not confirm ovulation. They add more stress to your plate. They add one more thing that you have to do, one more thing that you have to track, and they're not accurate. Okay, save your money and instead invest that money into a high quality basal body temperature thermometer and track that and your cervical mucus. Episode 123, I always refer back to episode 123. I need to like redo the episode. It's really an amazing episode. It's one of the most downloaded because I always refer back to it, but I'm like, that was literally years ago. I need to redo it. But anyway, episode 123 of the podcast teaches you how to track your cervical mucus and how to track your basal body temperature. But this is a must because your cervical mucus is what's going to let you know when you're actually fertile and when it's ready to go. Like when it's baby making time so you could actually get pregnant. Cause you can only get pregnant 5 to 6 days out of the month. And your cervical mucus is telling you when that's actually the time, not the LH strip. Okay. The LH strip, the OPKs are just letting you know when your LH, your luteinizing hormone, is increasing, which usually happens as you are approaching ovulation, but not always. Especially if you have PCOS, this LH increase can happen multiple times before you actually ovulate. You could be missing out on quality fertility time if you're just tracking that and not tracking your cervical mucus, or you're noticing your cervical mucus, but you're getting a negative LH strip. So you're like, oh, I'm not fertile, so just forget it. Like, drop the fucking LH strips, okay? Please, if you get anything out of this episode, throw them out, stop tracking them, stop wasting your money, and track your BBT and your cervical mucus, okay? That's what I want you to get out of this. Because again, they're also not accurate. You could take it in the morning, you could take it at night and get a different result either time. So you want to track your cervical mucus and your basal body temperature. Your basal body temperature is what's actually confirming ovulation, letting you know that you are in fact ovulating, because getting a period does not confirm ovulation. I just had a one-on-one call with a client. She booked a breakthrough session, which is just a 60-minute one-on-one call with me. I do like a couple of them a month. And she's like, I get my period every 30 days like clockwork. But the more that I was talking to her, the more I was listening to her symptoms. She has a lot of brown, it's like pretty much brown the whole time. She spots before. I'm like, it sounds like you're not ovulating. You're not regularly ovulating. So an actual, which she's going to track it and find out, but I'm 100% positive she's not regularly ovulating. It might be once in a while, but that's why it's really important to actually track your basal body temperature, because a period, even if it comes every 28, 30, 32 days, whatever, that's not actually letting you know that you're ovulating. So my favorite BBT is Temp Drop. You can go to tempdrop.com, use code AFCorinne, A-F, A as in Alice, F as in Fran. Random, C-O-R-I-N-N-E at checkout for 11% off. You could also stack that with any discounts that they have going on. It's the easiest one. You wear it at night, overnight. It tracks all your data. It's so freaking simple. You wake up, you open an app, it syncs everything for you. You don't have to wake up at the same time every day. Like, it's the easiest, most accurate one. So highly recommend that. Throw out the 8 LH strips. That's what I want you to get out of this episode. Okay, bye. No, but seriously. Okay, that's 1. 2, and you're going to be like, Corinne, you talk about this all the time. Yes, I do. 2 is caffeine. Pre-workout, coffee, whatever it is a no for me. It's a no for me at all times, but especially in your luteal phase, the 10 to 14 days before your period, it's a freaking no, or before breakfast. For the love of all things holy, please do not have caffeine before you have breakfast. Some people are like, well, I had my warm lemon water and then I had my coffee. I'm like, okay, cool. That still doesn't matter. You need to have your high protein, high fiber, high fat breakfast with nice carbs in there before you have caffeine. But if you are really trying to conceive, if you have been trying for a while, the caffeine has just got to go. Okay. For optimal fertility, say no to it entirely because it causes imbalances with your cortisol levels and your blood sugar, which will 100% impact your fertility because our hormones are responders. They're responding to systems in our body. They respond to how your blood sugar is. They respond to how your cortisol levels are, your nervous system is. They are responding to these things. Okay. So the root cause of fertility challenges are not your hormones. They're what is actually causing your hormones to be in or out of balance. And your blood sugar and your cortisol are two of the systems that that your hormones respond to. So when you're having caffeine, it's jacking up your cortisol levels and it's dysregulating your blood sugar, which is going to negatively impact your hormones. Cortisol, especially when your cortisol is going up and up and up from caffeine, from stress, from in your luteal phase, your resting cortisol levels just naturally higher. If you're overexercising, all these things add up. The higher your cortisol, the lower your progesterone levels are because when your body has to continuously produce cortisol, it uses progesterone to actually create more cortisol. Progesterone is a hormone needed to get and stay pregnant. So you want to make sure that you are nourishing that as much as possible. And caffeine is not the way to do it. Some people are like, well, I just have a cup once a week or whatever. I'm like, okay, that could be fine for some people. But if you are a person who has been trying for four or more cycles, it's not fine for you. It's not working. Get rid of it. Is it like, honestly, what is it worth to you? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like get a decaf or something instead. First of all, coffee also is loaded with mold. It's loaded with pesticides, loaded with all these things that I'm just don't recommend. So if you are having it, please make sure it's organic. Purity Coffee has a really good, it's a really good brand. It's organic. It has no pesticides, no mold, nothing like that. And they have a decaf, version. It's called the Calm Blend. You could use my code Corinne. I think it's 20% off. But that is what I would swap it with. Okay. You could also do herbal tea, obviously. I have not had caffeine in 9 years, literally 9 years, even through the newborn stage and mom life, zero caffeine. And I have way more energy now. Like it is not even comparable than when I used to slam 3 cups of coffee a day. I used to have a huge mug. It was a friend's mug, like a travel one every single day on my way to work. When I was a teacher, I used to have another one after before I went to go waitress. Like I used to have so much caffeine and I have 10 times more energy now. And whenever my clients get rid of caffeine, they feel the same way. So swap that shit out. That is number 2. Number 3 is alcohol. Again, everyone's like caffeine, alcohol. Oh my God, I only have it once in a while. Da, da, da. One drink can increase your estrogen levels by 10%. One drink, just one, whether it's wine, a margarita, a beer, like whatever it is, doesn't matter what it is. One drink can increase your estrogen by 10%. Dr. Jolene Brighton talks about this, which will affect your estrogen to progesterone ratio. Okay. Progesterone again is needed to get and stay pregnant, and progesterone and estrogen work together like yin and yang. They have to be in proper ratio for you to feel good, for you to not have PMS, for you to ovulate strongly, for you to have strong progesterone levels, for you to have strong cervical mucus, for you to get pregnant, stay pregnant, all the things. Okay. Alcohol also messes. And also if you have like excess estrogen in relation to progesterone, your symptoms could be acne, migraines, PMS, like mood swings, irritability, your boobs hurt before you get your period, you have cramps, you have blood clots, you have heavy periods. All of these are signs of excess estrogen in relation to progesterone. You could also experience some anxiety and depression in your luteal phase. Okay. It also, alcohol messes up your blood sugar. It depletes you of nutrients, which again is a system in your body that your hormones respond to. So we always want to make sure we're balancing our blood sugar. It depletes you of nutrients that you need to ovulate. It specifically depletes you of B vitamins, and our B vitamins are needed for our energy. It's also needed for your ovaries to function optimally. And obviously we all know this, it clogs up your liver, and your liver is another system and process in your body that your hormones respond to. Your liver is what processes excess hormones, metabolic waste, toxins, chemicals, everything out of your body. So if it's, and it's going to do whatever's life-threatening first. And alcohol, it's literally like a poison in our body. Like that's really what it is. It's going to focus on filtering out that first. Cause it's like, damn, we got to get this shit out of the body because if we let this alcohol build up, like we're going to have some real issues. So it focuses on getting that out first and moving it onto the gut, and the gut eliminates it out of the body. And it's not going to get to the excess hormones because those are not life-threatening, right? Like, so it's really, really important to make sure that we are reducing as much exposure of like toxins and chemicals and all that stuff, including
drinking alcohol so that our hormones can then process and metabolize these excess hormones. Your liver can process and metabolize these excess hormones so that things are more in balance. If you're committed to getting pregnant, alcohol has to go. It just has got to go. Okay. That is just what I'm going to say about that. That is number three. Number four, also, I used to drink like a fish in college. Let's be honest. I went to Cortland. I drank like on a rare occasion, three nights a week, usually more than that, like probably 4 to 5. Like it was definitely every Thursday, Friday, Saturday for sure. Sometimes a Monday, sometimes a Wednesday. Like it was absolutely insane. And then after college, on the weekends for like a year or two. And then I was like, I hate the way I feel. I got insane migraines after. I was like, I actually don't want to do this anymore. So I stopped drinking, I don't even know, probably early to mid 20s. And then I would just like randomly have a drink here and there if it was like an occasion or something. In the last, like, I don't know, 2 years, I probably drank twice. Like once I had like Aperol spritz at my wedding and then at my friend's wedding. And I think I had one drink on our honeymoon. And then obviously I haven't drank since I've been pregnant, breastfeeding, all that. Like you can drink when you're breastfeeding, but I'm just like, I'm not wasting liquid gold. Like I'm just not doing it. And I have a whole other podcast. I'm not going to get into sex. I have other podcast episodes about like not caring what other people are thinking about it, doing what's best for you, like all that stuff. Okay. But just giving you context of like, I'm not just preaching this at you. I'm also doing these things. Okay. And it's reaps benefits over and over and over. Okay. Number four, intermittent fasting. Woo. What a good way to easily cause stress on your body, for your cortisol to increase and your blood sugar to be dysregulated AF, causing you to irregularly ovulate and lower progesterone levels. Again, the higher your cortisol, the lower your progesterone. So I want you to aim for about 12 hours between dinner and breakfast. That's a great amount of time for like fasting from dinner to breakfast. Even 13 hours, some people are good with that. Not 16, not 17, not 18, like eat breakfast within 1 hour of waking up. Sometimes I say 60 to 90 minutes, but if you've really been trying to conceive for a while, if you know that your cortisol is a little out, you're a little dysregulated because you've been really stressed out from trying and all this stuff, like I would say really within an hour of waking up, that's going to be the best. I have a free training also on how to create hormone balanced meals, which is extremely important for every meal, but especially in the morning for breakfast. If you haven't already downloaded that, I'll put that in the show notes too. I talk about that in the Trying to Conceive Masterclass. You could just download the Trying to Conceive Masterclass and you'll get the link for the other free training too. But stop intermittent fasting. It's not supporting you. It's just a no. It's just a freaking no. Okay. Eat breakfast within 1 hour of waking up. So your blood sugar is regulated. Again, our blood sugar, whether you have diabetes or not, doesn't matter. Everyone has blood sugar. This is a system in our body that our hormones respond to. And it's a major, major, major issue when it comes to fertility. If you have dysregulated blood sugar, you are 100% going to struggle with your fertility, hands down, like point blank, okay? So when you eat breakfast within an hour of waking up, you have about 12 to 13 hours between dinner and breakfast, your blood sugar is going to be regulated. Obviously, there's more that goes to it, but just one of these steps. And your body is going to feel safe to get pregnant. If we're not eating for hours and hours in the morning, do you think that your body feels safe to grow a human and an organ? You grow an organ and a human. It's freaking insane what our body does, but it has to feel safe. It has to get enough nutrients. It has to get enough food. Like it has to feel safe in order to get pregnant. Your body's not going to feel safe if you're not giving it food for 16 plus hours a day. Like it's just not. So those are the four things that I do not want you to do if you are trying to conceive, you want to get pregnant in the next 6 months to a year, like start really thinking about these things and start with where you're at. If you're like, holy F, Corinne, I'm doing literally all of these things. Start with one thing. Start with a thing that's like the biggest thing for you, or that'll be the quickest. That'll be like the quickest win. If it's the LH strips, okay, easy. I can throw that shit out. Okay, done. Then I'm just going to start with the caffeine, right? Just start with where you're at. Have the personal discernment around whether you are not wanting to do these things because it's bringing up resistance for you, where that resistance is coming from, or if you're just like, you know, you don't want to do everything all at once because you also don't want to feel restricted. You don't want to throw in the towel eventually because it's too hard. Like start with where you're at, really meet yourself where you're at and move from there. You don't have to do everything all at once to see results. Slow and steady always wins the race because that is what causes consistency and sustainability. And again, this isn't like something you're just doing for 2 weeks and then you're done. Like this is a lifestyle. So take it one step at a time. And for 5 things to do to get pregnant, remember, download my Trying to Conceive Masterclass totally free. You're going to freaking love it. It's so freaking good. I love it so much. And in that masterclass, I also talk about the Trying to Conceive Accelerator, which is my super intimate group program. You have a lot of one-on-one time with me. You're also around other women who have been trying to conceive for 4+ months. This is only for you if you've been trying to conceive for 4 months or more, and you're really ready to get pregnant, stay pregnant, have a healthy pregnancy. You don't want to do this shit on your own anymore. You're like, Corinne, I've been Googling, I've been listening to your podcast, I've been doing stuff, I've been making all the changes, and it's still not working. I feel like I'm broken. I don't know what's happening. My blood work is normal, or my blood work is saying my estrogen is low. This is high, but my doctor isn't helping me. Like, what do I do? This is for you. Okay. I'll put the link for that in the show notes as well, so you can apply. I'm only accepting a handful of people. So by the time you listen to this, I don't know if there will be spaces open, but I'm going to be running this continuously, like more than, I'm probably going to be doing it about 3 times a year. So all the information will be in the show notes, but I'm so freaking excited to support you. I love you so much. Please let me know how this episode landed for you. And I will talk to you soon. Thank you so much for being here. If you loved this episode and learned something valuable, please share it with a friend who you think would also love it, or post it on social media and tag me so I could personally say thank you for helping me spread this important message. I am beyond grateful to be here with you. So until next time, stay intentional, stay consistent, and always mind your hormones.